Russell. Thank you for that children's message. You did a very good job. However, I was a little disappointed. What was your friend's name? Doug? See, I think you should take some poetic license with that story. It should be Doug who comes along at the airport. And he should stomp your toe on purpose so that you can test the maturity of your developing Christian faith. That was great. That was good. Thank you. I wouldn't change the thing, really. I wouldn't. Forgiveness has been in the news in the last few days. After a jury out in Dallas convicted a police officer of murder for shooting a man in his apartment, and she was white and he was black, the victim's brother, his name's Brant, made a victim impact statement to the court. You've probably seen this on the news. This younger brother looked at the police officer and who had just been convicted of murdering his brother and said to her, "I forgive you." And he also encouraged her to go to God and seek God's forgiveness. He furthermore asked for permission to go to her and hug her. It was a remarkable moment. It was a remarkable act of grace and love and mercy on the part of this brother. It's also proven to be controversial for lots of reasons. One of them is just because some people are just cynical and can't believe that someone could honestly show such grace and mercy, because they can't, so they assume that others can't. But there are deeper issues involved, and you know, hardly anybody that I've seen has questioned this young man's right to forgive his brother's killer, and hopefully most of us who are Christians, this young man is a Christian, most of us would see his act as a model for how we should all live. But people who kind of keep the bigger picture in mind have criticized some folks, particularly some us white folks and a lot of white Christians, for, they say something like this. Say, if you didn't speak out, if you've never spoken out against the mistreatment of black folks by some white authorities, then you shouldn't turn around and praise this black man for forgiving a white person's act of violence against an unarmed black man. And the point they're trying to make is, as I understand it, is that some folks might be too quick to want to embrace an example like that, like this young man's forgiveness of his brother's killer, as a way that all problems should be addressed in society. Forgive and forget. You know, just whatever's happened in history, whatever oppression there has been, you ought to just forget it, forgive it, get past it, and get over it. Well, you know, that's a fair point they're making, because as remarkable as this act of forgiveness is, it doesn't change a lot of things. there are still things that need to be changed. And forgiveness doesn't mean that we don't think that there's still work to be done to make things better. I may forgive you if you're part of a process or a system that oppresses. I may forgive you for that, but I can also expect you to work toward making it better, to bring justice where there is injustice and liberation where there is oppression. But all that being said, if you're like I am, and I hope you're not, but if you are, I imagine a lot of us watched what this young man did and had two thoughts almost simultaneous. One thought was, that is the way Christians ought to live. And the second thought was, I could never do that. That's the way Christians ought to live, but I could never do that. And it's that I could never do that part that I want us to think about, because it's wrong. When you tell yourself you could never do that, you're lying to yourself. You're not telling yourself the truth. Jesus told his disciples in the version, in Luke's versions, one of the other gospels has the 70 times 7. Russell, I don't want y'all to think Russell got it wrong. He didn't. He just cited another gospel. But Jesus in this story tells his disciples, if the same person sins against you seven times a day, and seven times, meaning seven times in that same day, this person comes to you and says, I repent, you must forgive. So that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, this is what he says. If somebody sins against you seven times in one day, and they repent seven times, you have to forgive them seven times. It is completely understandable that the first thing out of the disciples' mouths was, Lord, increase our faith. They're thinking, well, that sounds right, but we can't do that. We're not able to do that. We don't have faith enough to do that. They believed they did not have faith enough to practice this continual and radical forgiveness. They figured that this is going to take a lot of faith, and we only have a little bit. But then Jesus says, if you had just a teeny, tiny, itsy, bitsy bit of faith, then you could tell that tree over there to uproot itself and fly through the air and land in the lake over yonder. Now, again, that's what Jesus said. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about. Jesus doesn't care whether you can move a tree and make it fly through the air and land in the water. How many trees did Jesus make fly through the air and land in the water? He could have done it, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about forgiveness. He's saying if you had just a little bit of faith, then you could forgive like I'm telling you to forgive. And this should be good news, because you and I know, don't we, that as hard as it might be for us to go downtown and use our mind power and our faith to uproot one of those beautiful cherry trees and make it plop down over in the Okmulgee River, they'd probably arrest you for that in Macon, wouldn't they? But if you could do that, that's not nearly as hard as forgiving somebody who has really done you wrong. I'd rather go try to move that tree with my brain any day than have to try to forgive somebody who has really done me wrong. the way that Jesus phrases this, the people who are the experts in grammar say that what he probably really meant was, if you had a little bit of faith, which you do. You do have enough faith, he said to your disciples. You can do this. And if we say we can't do it, we'll never move toward doing it. If we get up every day with the attitude that we can't forgive, we'll never make progress toward forgiving. When I was a Little League baseball player, I had 1 year of stardom. I was 12. I still have the trophy. It was not a participation trophy, although I would have been glad to get, they didn't give those back then, but I would have been glad to get one of those. But I actually won the batting championship in the Barnesville Lamar County Little League. I have the trophy to prove it. It says best batting, and it's abbreviated AVE. So my trophy actually says best batting avenue. But anyway. But I made the All-Star team, and so we were practicing for going to the, you know, the tournament, the first round of the tournament that would lead us to Williamsport and the Little League World Series. Now, we lost our first game, so that was as far as we got. But as we were practicing, our coach, Mr. Miles, brought in a fellow named Zeke Barnes to pitch batting practice. Now, we were 12. Zeke Barnes was, I don't know, 14 or 15, as big as you would expect a guy named Zeke Barnes to be. He was a big guy, strong guy. I do not know how fast he threw. I only know that I never saw the ball. Ever. And so I come up for my turn at batting practice, and I'm batting, and we had an umpire. We were like simulating a game, you know. So I'm up there, and, you know, I hear strike one, strike two, strike three. It looked like, you know, those old Bugs Bunny cartoons or Popeye cartoons where they're, you know, where they're playing baseball. You know, I literally never saw the ball. I could not get the bat off my shoulder. So I'm sitting over here, you know, waiting for my next turn, and I'm thinking, okay, there's really no point in going up there. This is pointless. But it wasn't really up to me. So I went back up to bat, and I made up my mind what I was going to do, and I did it. Zeke wound up, and as soon as I saw his arm start to move forward, I swung. And you know what happened? I hit the ball. I mean, it was weak. It was pitiful. It was just a little looper right back to Zeke. But I hit the ball. And Mr. Miles told me later, he said, Mike, anybody who gets wood on the ball against Zeke is doing okay. But, you know, I wouldn't have even had the little blooper if I hadn't at least gone back out there and tried. We can't make any progress on what we refuse to start. We are so privileged, y'all. And I mean this in a good way. We hear a lot of bad things about privilege, I know, but I'm talking about in a positive sense. We are so privileged. We have the privilege of being Christians. We have the privilege of being followers of Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of seeing what Jesus did, the stories in our Bibles, of hearing what Jesus taught. We have the privilege of following Jesus' example and teachings. We have the great privilege of having the Bible to instruct us, the Christian community to encourage us, the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have the great privilege of having experienced and continuing to experience Jesus' love and grace and mercy and forgiveness in our lives. And we have the great privilege of sharing that grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness with other people. We see what this murdered man's brother did. We see what those Amish folks did up in Pennsylvania a few years ago when the man walked into their school and killed some of their children and then killed himself. And they went to his funeral and took up money to help his wife and family. And we see things like that and we say, that's master's level Christianity. That's PhD level Christianity. I could never get there. But Jesus says, this is Christianity 101. This is freshman level Christianity. If you have just a little bit of faith, now it has to be real faith. Really trusting in Jesus, really following Jesus, really believing that Jesus' way is better than the world's way. We have to have real faith. But see, we are so privileged. We have such a chance, such an opportunity to live in Jesus' way. But it doesn't just happen. We have the responsibility to try. See, after telling the disciples that they had to forgive, Jesus tells them that they need just a little faith to do so. And then he says, imagine this. He says, imagine that you're a property owner, a master, you know, and you have servants, and the servants have been out all day doing what they're supposed to do, working in the fields. He said, and then your servants come in. He said, are you going to say to your servants, well done, servants, y'all have a seat, let me fix you dinner? He said, no, you're going to say to your servants, you may say well done to them, but you're going to say, it's dinner time, y'all fix my meal and bring it to me, and then you can eat. And after saying all that, then Jesus looks at his disciples and says, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Now, don't get hung up on the worthless slaves part. There's plenty in the New Testament to teach us that we are not worthless in the eyes of God. The point is, Jesus says that when we forgive somebody, we've just done what we were supposed to do. When we forgive somebody, we might congratulate ourselves on our superior spirituality. I'm ashamed to admit I know this, but I remember a professional wrestler years ago who wore a shirt and it had a handprint on the back of it. And whenever they introduced him, he'd come out and he'd pat himself on the back. A lot of Christians have a t-shirt like that, you know. I forgave somebody for stepping on my toe. Aren't I super? Put an S for super Christian on my chest. Jesus said, no. All you've done is the least you could do and the least you should do. My wife likes yellow roses. So, at least she says she does. Got her some once, she said she liked them, so I keep getting them. Yeah. But one time, and it probably, her birthday is the day after Valentine's Day, so I like to give her roses then, you know, two for one. You know, it's a... So I had gotten her a dozen yellow roses, and then, because it's what you do, and because I wanted credit for it, I put a picture of them on Facebook. See, you know, you're supposed to do this stuff in secret, Jesus said. Otherwise, you already have your reward. Well, I wanted my reward now. So I put it on Facebook, and I added a comment to it. I said something about it being, you know, Deborah's birthday or our anniversary or whatever it was. And I said, it's the least I can do. And a friend of mine responded, well, never let it be said that you didn't do the least you could do. Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I thought it was kind of funny, but she had a point. It was a she, of course, who said that to me. Hopefully, in my relationship with my wife, after these 41 years, I'm doing more than the least I can do. I'm not looking at her. Y'all can ask her later. Hopefully, I'm doing more than the least I can do. Hopefully, I've always been moving forward, growing toward doing the most I can do. I don't want to be a beginning level husband 41 years into the relationship. I want to be an advanced level husband. But if you do something to hurt me this afternoon, I'll probably have reason to wonder if I'm even a beginning level Christian all over again. Don't you wonder sometimes? Don't you wonder about yourself sometimes? Well, the longest journey begins with one step. God will help us. We just need to try. He will help us to live out the privilege of being Christians by accepting the responsibility of doing the least we can do. And then we can grow toward doing even more. Y'all may be aware that the baseball playoffs are underway. One of our marvelous young players for the Braves has a habit that he needs to break. He's marvelous. He's tremendous. He has Hall of Fame written all over him. But he has a habit he needs to break. He needs to stop watching the ball and strolling toward first base. When he did this again the other day, and they were asking him about it after the game, of course, at some point he was quoted as having said, "Well, that's baseball. Those things happen." No. Sometimes, no matter how hard you try, and no matter how hard you hustle, it's still going to go wrong. That's baseball. Those things happen. When you don't try and you don't hustle, that's not on baseball, that's on you. We need to try to live like Jesus told us we should live. We need to try to forgive. We need to try to show grace. Try to show mercy. Sometimes it's not going to go well. Sometimes we're not going to do it well. Sometimes they're not going to accept it. Sometimes you're going to know good and well they don't mean it when they say they're sorry. That's on them. What's on us is to try to do what Jesus told us to do. The world would be amazed if, when it comes to grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness, we would just practice Christianity 101. They would completely lose their minds if we could just not get it up to the sophomore level. But we never will if we don't keep trying, knowing that God's grace and Spirit will help us to. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for forgiving us. You have forgiven us for the unforgivable. Let your grace and love and mercy so fill us that it overflows onto everybody around us. In the name of Christ, we pray.